God. Amen. As he come.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Wow, what do I say after a service like we've already had? Hallelujah. Other than thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How about we take a moment right now just to thank him for what he's already done? Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank you for your presence and your spirit. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in this house. Thank you for touching our lives. Thank you for making yourself known to us, Lord God. For we love you, Lord Jesus. We believe, Lord God, that we have been set free. We have been delivered. We have been made new in your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I cannot even begin to express the love of God. You know, Paul said it like this. He said, you know, who can know the love of God? He says it is immeasurable. What is the height, the depth? Hallelujah. What is the measurements? How could we try to measure it out? I tell you, it is impossible. God is love. And how far he went for you and I. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I know how far into the gutter he had to find me. Yeah, he came all the way down to my level and he found me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Again, it's wonderful to have each and every one of you with us. Dylan, good to have you back again, man. God bless you. Hallelujah. And everybody else, praise the Lord. Wonderful to have Marty up here playing the bass today. Hallelujah. Praise God. God bless him for that, that we will continue to grow and see people be used. If you can, head in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. I tell you, there's a lot of pressure that's not on me anymore. Hallelujah. Because God's already done it all. So today, I might do a little bit of teaching, if that's all right. And just do a little bit. It'll be some preaching, but really just digging into the Word. We've already had a move of God. I don't know about you, but my mind's already convinced. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that God's pouring out His Spirit. So I'm not going to try to convince you of anything, but simply to explain the outpouring and what comes with outpouring, what we can expect with this kind of move of God every Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled. Everybody say filled. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I tell you, I don't think that was much different than what we just experienced here today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm sure at even one point I may have even heard a wind in the place because that's how powerful of an atmosphere we've been in today. But this was the first time that God poured out his Spirit upon the disciples. This was the creation of the church. And today we continue their legacy by praying for and expecting an outpouring of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Just a few more verses before I'll have you be seated. It says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. You may not have known, but when you got the Holy Ghost, you got power. Hallelujah. And there was more that came with that spirit than just an experience in God. And you may not even have prepared for it. But today, I believe God is going to do much more than just cause you to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives the utterance, but certainly prophesy the words and will of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's going to happen when the Spirit comes on somebody. God gives a prophetic utterance. One more passage of Scripture. I'm going to have my friend down here read this. By the way, if you can hang out with us after service, Brother Roger is going to be getting baptized. Hallelujah. And if there's anybody else who's not been baptized in the name of Jesus, we'd love for you to do it. You like to read this passage for me? I told you I was going to have you read. Go ahead, put up Acts chapter 2, verse 38 and 39. You can stay standing, or sitting, I'm sorry. You can stay seated. There you go. It's right on the screen. Go ahead and read that for us.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and baptize every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and he shall receive, what happened? The gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, my friend. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall, everybody say shall, receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as if he could not emphasize shall enough, he went ahead and told them, give him even more proof. Verse 39, for this promise, what promise is that? The promise of the Holy Ghost. This promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Everybody say, that's me. That's me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I know today this might be a little bit of repetition, but I need to just kind of dig in a little bit to help people to understand what God is about to do in their lives. Hallelujah. Why? Because the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Why don't we go ahead and lift up our hands one more time? Lord God, we want an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. You've already done it today. You've already blessed us and touched us and moved in our hearts and changed our thinking. But God, you're about to do a little bit more, Lord God. You're going to let that word come and sink inside of our hearts, Lord Jesus, and by it we're going to see growth. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody shout amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. This has been incredible today. This is kind of atmosphere that people's lives are completely changed in. It really is. I've been through services much like these, and I tell you, I'm always radically different going out of here. But that's to be expected when we have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And today, I'm really just going to talk on what the outpouring will bring. We didn't get to touch on it too much last week. And this morning in prayer, I felt God put this on my heart. So last week, I proposed the question, why did Jesus wait to pour out the Spirit? The Spirit of God was poured out 50 days after his resurrection. It was poured out 10 days after his ascension. Seems as though after his resurrection, he could have just done it right then and there. Seems as though 10 days before the day of Pentecost, when he would go up into the heavens, and the Bible says that there was possibly around 3,500 people there to witness his ascension, why didn't he just do it right then? Why in that moment didn't he just pour out his spirit and fill all of those people that were there? As I said last week, there may have been a million different reasons, but ultimately we can just say it was God's designated time to wait until the day of Pentecost. Hallelujah. And I tell you, it's obvious. It's God's designated time in the city of Seward to pour out his spirit. Hallelujah. And to bless his church. Praise God. You see, I believe the Lord has revealed to us that now is the time. This is the city of Seward's day of Pentecost. This is the time where the Lord's going to radically transform hearts and he's going to pour out his spirit, not just on us who is in this group, but on those who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But the day of Pentecost was also significant. Well, it is very likely, again, there are many reasons, but God plan from the beginning to wait until the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is also known as the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot. There's a few different celebrations connected with it for the Jews. First, Shavuot is the celebration that ends the grain harvest, which is where it gets the name the Festival of Harvest. But it also celebrates the beginning seasons of harvesting grapes, pomegranates, olives, etc., which is where the name Festival of First Fruits come into play. It was, all in all, a celebration of growth and harvesting, past and future. Hallelujah. It was a celebration of what they'd already experienced and a celebration of what they knew was right on the horizon. Oh, I don't know about you, but I feel like celebrating a little bit here today. Because, man, have we seen some great things. Oh, but I can also say we're about to see even greater things in this church. If you believe that, clap your hands unto the Lord. See, but this celebration of growth, it was a celebration of realized growth. Realized growth is, of course, a business term, meaning growth that is tangible. It's not expected growth or what is, again, something off in the long, long distance, but they're beginning to see it now. This Feast of Pentecost was them recognizing there are the former rains being poured out. God is doing something and we can see it with our eyes. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's tangible. It's obvious. Listen, when we talk about an outpouring, I'm not talking about just a good time on Sunday morning, but I'm talking about an actualized, a realized growth in our hearts and in our souls. Hallelujah. You've invested the time, the energy, the finances into potential growth. But I pray today that God gives us the promise of an obvious, tangible, and realized harvest where we can see hearts are changed, lives are transformed, perspectives are shifted, hallelujah, and people are walking in the will of God. We can expect it. Everybody say, I can expect it. I can't expect to see change. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Come on now. I can't expect to see change. Praise God. And listen, some of us, you're not shouting because that's not what you want. You want same old, same old, but I want to see what else God has for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to see how far he can take me in this. I want to see the next miracle he can perform. I want to see the next perspective he's able to change. I just want to see what the Lord has in store for us. Oh, praise God. And this comes with the rain. Growth comes with the rain. Fruit comes with the rain. Harvest comes with the rain. Rain brings growth because it provides essential water to plants. When we talk about an outpouring, I believe it's all connected. The Lord poured out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost, the day which is the celebration of the outpouring of rain, which has produced growth. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When we're talking about outpouring, I'm not just talking about a momentary experience where I come and cry and weep before God. Listen, I'm thankful for that, because what a life-changing thing that is. Hallelujah. It's a powerful experience that you'll be able to live off of for weeks at a time. Praise God. But I'm talking about tangible, real evidence that the Lord is working in my life. That's what the rain brings. Oh, praise God. You see, because you go and you plant and you put the seeds down and you prepare the soil and you try to give it as much sunshine as it can and you allow the rains to come. Hallelujah. But they knew there would be a difference, you see, because they did everything they could to prepare, but they were waiting. They were dependent on the cloud to bring rain down upon their crops, because rain brings growth, because it provides essential water to plants, which is necessary for them to carry out photosynthesis and produce food. You cannot grow a plant without it being watered. It enables them to grow and to develop. Rainwater naturally contains small amounts of dissolved nutrients like nitrates, which act as a natural fertilizer for plants and further promotes the growth of that seed. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. When the rains come, it brings all that is necessary for that seed to grow. And let me tell you, if you want change, the rains are falling. Hallelujah. And all that you need has been poured out in this place. And God is doing it right now. Everybody say right now. Right now, God is doing it. Right now, God is changing. Right now, God is transforming. Listen, you've got every right after today to go home and expect to see change. Come on now. You got every right this week to notice a shift. Why? Because it's not by might nor by power, but by God's Spirit. Hallelujah. You couldn't change your perspective. You couldn't get those dirty thoughts out. You couldn't change your habits. Oh, but when the rains come, it provides a growth and nutrients that's required in order for things to grow. With the rain comes the growth of the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, I feel God. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Oh, you feel that? It's like a cool flow of water in this place. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. the fruit that develops in a life because of the outpouring of the Spirit of God. It is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, hallelujah, temperance. Against such there is no law. In other words, these are things that the law itself can only teach you, but it can't change you. But when the Spirit of God comes on somebody, it changes them. Hallelujah. It changes them. Go ahead, Brother Judas, and throw up. It's called fruit of the Spirit. Love. When God pours out His Spirit, He gives His people a true affection towards other people. A true love. Listen, I can tell you honestly, I struggled with that. But God's helped me to find a place of true love for people, even myself. Things I can expect for the outpouring of the Spirit to bring in your life. You're going to start realizing almost like your eyes are open. Like, man, how did I think so negatively about people? Joy. You can't expect happiness. Now, I'm not going to sell you a bill of goods. I'm not going to tell you that every moment of your life is going to be happy. It's not going to be the case. But there is a supernatural joy that comes with the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise God. A supernatural joy where everybody else is nasty and negative and all that stuff. You're happy. You found a place where you're content. You said, thank you, God, for changing my perspective. Peace. He's going to give you peace. Peace means harmony. It's a balance in your life where you might be on a boat and all around you is storms and waves. That boat is rocking back and forth. But inside, you just have an understanding. Everything is going to be okay. That's a supernatural peace. Hallelujah. A supernatural peace which passeth all understanding. And everybody looks at you and says, well, how can you be so positive right now? Don't you see? The world's falling apart. Trump's going to be in office? No, I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. Praise God. But deep down inside, you say, wait a minute. It doesn't matter what's going on out there because I have planted my feet on the rock of ages, and He never fails, and He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I can have confidence that though not everything is perfect in my life, I am at peace. I have contentment because I got God, and I've got the presence of the Lord in my life. And I got Him helping me. Long suffering. Everybody say endurance. Listen, some of us need some endurance. Endurance. Endurance with people. God gives you patience. Not as go, go, go. Not as, you know, nobody talk to me. I'm a busy man. But it's a patience, an endurance. Listen, I tell you the best thing that God ever helped me to do, Brother Al, helped me to look people in the eye. Right? That's hard to do sometimes. because I've got so many things on my plate, so many thoughts going through my mind. While I'm talking to you, I'm looking at the whole sanctuary, and I'm looking at this person and how they're not getting talked to, and this guest, somebody needs to speak to them, and I need to have a conversation with this person about this, and I need to help this person. Hallelujah, but God, help me just to beam in. You know what? I'm going to focus in on what this person is saying. It's a long suffering of patience and endurance. Gentleness. Everybody say gentleness. Our world needs kindness. Just an overall kindness. I got some people I work with. I thought, honestly, and I don't know them. I've never met them in real life. All I've ever done is sent them emails. That's it. I thought I was driving them crazy because they're from our manufacturing down the road, and I had to request products and for them to send it to me. And I'm sending them like 500 emails a day. I need this. I need this. Can you give me this? And just a couple days ago, they emailed back, and it was bad news. They said, oh, we can't do it until February. I said, oh, well, I thank you. Thank you for letting me know. He wrote back. He said, honestly, if I could do it for you, I'd do it. He said, because you are the easiest person that we work with here to help. Hallelujah. Again, a little bit of kindness goes a long way. And I know this world tries to find kindness, but there's no true kindness except for that comes with the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. It's a truthful kindness. It's not got some sly trick. It's not because I'm trying to get something out of you, but because I truly care about you and I want good in your life. A soft response. You'll notice that your responses get a little softer. Right? You're not so quick to lash out. That's that gentleness. Come on now. I've seen the hardest of hard men with rage and all these demons come into the house of God, and God changes them and they become like teddy bears. Praise God. And I know some people, well, you know, nice guys finish last. Not in the kingdom of God, they don't. And if they do what Jesus say, hallelujah, he that is last shall be first. So if nice guys finish last, call me nice. Hallelujah, because I know in the kingdom of God, that's what counts. Hallelujah. Absolutely. Goodness. It's an integrity. That word integrity is a bigger word than I have time to talk about today. But it's who you are when nobody else is around. That's integrity. Goodness means that there is, you're good to the very core of who you are. You're not saying one thing, but in your mind you're thinking all this stuff. Right? You're saying kind words, but in your mind, you're cursing them out. It's a goodness. It's an integrity. It's who I am on the inside is the same thing that I am on the outside. And listen, I'm not perfect, and I never will be perfect, but the Spirit helps me to be wholesome and to be whole through and through. I'm just simply living for God. Oh, somebody clap your hands to the Lord today. With the outpouring comes faith, which is conviction. A conviction that says no. Right? Come on, with the Holy Ghost comes the ability to say no. Yeah. It comes with the ability to say no. Because I've got conviction. I'm not going to do certain things, go certain places, say certain things, hang out with certain people because I've got faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and he's revealed to me in his word, and I believe him. Hallelujah. And so I'm going to say no. I'm going to live a life of conviction. Listen, I tell you, and I've said this before, and I won't get too much on this, so it's all right, but I tell you, one of the things I feel like our children are missing out on the most is a conviction to go to church every time those doors are open. Hallelujah. And I'm not here to put anybody on blast. I know we all got lives and work and all that stuff, but I want my kids to know what it's like to be at church every time the doors are open. The only nights they get to stay up late is Wednesday nights when we're at church. Hallelujah. And that's okay with me. I tell you where I grew up napping underneath the pew because I knew it was a thing. My parents were not going to let the doors be open, and we weren't going to be there. Why? Because they taught me conviction. Conviction. Meekness. Meekness is a humility. I believe it's a little bit more than humility, but I don't know that there's really enough of a word other than meekness to describe it. Meekness is beyond just humility. It is a mixture of humility and faith. It is I can do nothing, but God can do everything. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Meekness is a humility for myself, but a confidence, a trust, and a faith in who God's called me to be. That's meekness. Right? Hallelujah. Meekness is an understanding that I'm called, whether or not you recognize it. But it's also an understanding that says, I don't gotta prove it to you, because that's God's ordeal, praise the Lord. All I'm here to do is just do what he's asked me to do, and that's the end of the story, praise God. Hallelujah, come on now, I want humility in my life. I want meekness in my life. Praise God. I remember when I came into church. It's all right today? We're just hanging out. I came in and we started pastoring the church. In the church was a group of people that they were there under the old pastor. The old pastor was only pastoring for about a year and a half when we took over the church. None of them knew us very much, and I'll tell you, there were some interesting characters in that group. And I just could feel it in my spirit. Something was happening in the church that I wasn't aware of. I began to pray over and over and over again. God, make me meek. I truly didn't even understand what that meant. I just felt it. God leading me to pray this over and over again. God, make me meek. Make me meek. Make me meek. Remember, it was a Wednesday night. And I was teaching, and we had this group there. We were actually just into a brand new building. It wasn't this one. It was the building we were in before this. We had just painted the walls and all this stuff. And we started to teach, and one of the ladies lifted up her hand. She had a genuine question. It was a tough question, but it was a genuine question. I answered her question, and then another lady, she lifted up her hand. I called on her. I said, well, you know, go ahead. She said to me in front of the whole church, Pastor Meehan, why do you hate me so much? I said, I'm sorry. I do not hate you at all. And she proceeded to tell the whole church all of our private conversations we had. Again, not mean conversations or angry conversations. It was just simply she wanted to do things in the church, and at that moment, I didn't feel like we needed to have anybody doing things in the church because we were still building up the expectations and all those things. I wanted to be able to teach them some things before we did it. But she decided to take it out. Well, that didn't end the night. I wish I could say the night ended there. But then, come to realize, they'd been having private conversations with everybody in the church. And everybody began to lift up their hand. Pastor Meehan, why did you paint these walls without asking us first? Pastor Meehan, why didn't we take a vote on this and that? And I just sat there. And I could feel just a supernatural strength come over me. I just said, well, thank you for your question. We're not going to be voting on what color to paint the church. Praise God. I would love to hear your opinion, though. But we won't be voting on this. And in fact, God had already shown me. I have no idea why. I cannot tell you why. Right before we went there, I went and looked at our bylaws and read exactly what we vote on as a church. And I was able to stand up there and say, these are the things that we vote on. This, this, and this. As a group. However, I value your opinion. If you want to come talk to me, not in the middle of a church service, and express those opinions, I'd love to hear. And I just sat there. And for another hour, they asked all their questions. And I remained as calm as a cucumber. No, was it cold? I don't know. But praise God. I was so comfortable there. One of the young men, after service, he came up to me. He said, Pastor, and he pulled my coat open. I thought, what is this guy doing? He said, I'm just looking to see all the bullet holes in ya. You know what? After that service, one of those new converts that's only been saved for about a year, he was an older man, military man. He was one of the ones who that couple got their brain all messed up. He's one of the ones who came to me and he said, Pastor Meehan, tonight I saw the calling of God on your life. Hallelujah. Because I didn't have to come back and rebuke anybody. I didn't have to come back at them and fight and say, well, I'm the man of God, I'm this and that. I just simply said, listen, I've already got the position. God gave it to me. I'm just going to tell you what it is. Hallelujah. That's it. You're called. You're chosen. You're anointed. I'm not saying don't listen to the people who are around you. There's value in their advice. But I am saying you can be humble while confident. The Lord has called you, and He is going to use you to do great things for the kingdom of God. If you believe that, again, clap your hands to the Lord. Temperance means self-control. Something else that we need desperately in our lives. Again, the ability to say no to me. Conviction might be the ability to say no to everybody else, but self-control's being able to say no to me. No, I'm not going to eat that second pizza. Praise God. Hallelujah. Listen, God can help you to say no where your bank account can't. Your bank account's going to be very thankful. And listen, that sounds like a joke, but I'm telling you what, when God helps you to cut out cigarettes and alcohol and whatever else you're paying for on the computer, hallelujah, and all the other things you're paying for on your phone, when God helps you cut those things out, you are going to be better off financially. This comes with the outpouring of the Spirit. Self-control, the ability to say, no, I'm going to do what's healthy. I'm going to do what's good. I'm going to do what's righteous. If it's got a good report, call me in. If it's got virtue, that's my thing. If it's got love, that's what I'm going to be part of. Hallelujah, because I've got self-control. That's okay today. Praise God. The day of Pentecost, it came with supernatural growth that produced fruit of the Spirit. You can expect it. Just as, listen, somebody right now, explain to me how crops grow. I know you can give me all the scientific terms, but at the end of the day, you really don't know how, because it's a God thing. And I'm going to tell you right now, you don't need to understand how God's going to do it. You just got to know God's going to do it. God's going to change you. God's going to transform you. Hallelujah. God's going to make you a new person. He's going to give you fruits you never knew you'd have before. Hallelujah. You don't need to understand it all or know how. You just need to trust that the rain is falling. The day of Pentecost didn't only have an agricultural significance, but a religious and a biblical one as well. It didn't just celebrate the harvest or first fruits, but it was a celebration of the giving of the Torah to Moses at Mount Sinai. If you remember, Moses went up and for 40 days and 40 nights, he fasted on Mount Sinai. And the Bible says that God, with his own finger, began to write the law into tablets of stone. Exodus 31 and 18. Hallelujah. He gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. Now, this is not a slick way of saying that God chose what Moses was going to write. There's no other way to interpret this other than God literally wrote these tablets of stone and hewed it out of the rock and gave it to Moses. This wouldn't be the only time. Later on, Moses would break those tablets of stone. Listen, we're going to, trust me, this isn't mean we're going to be perfect from here on out. We may end up breaking some stones before it's all over with. But then God came in and he wrote it out again and gave it to Moses. So, well, why are you telling me that? It's because this is significant to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's not just simply a celebration of the harvest. It's not just simply a celebration of the rains, but what is the rains bringing? What's the nutrients coming with this supernatural rain that God is bringing to us? I'll tell you what it is. It's the Word of God. Jeremiah 31, 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Just as he wrote it in that rock with his finger, he says, hallelujah, there's going to come a day where I'm going to write it on the hearts of my people. What day is he talking about? The day of Pentecost. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 15 tells us. It explains this verse exactly. It says, whereof the Holy Ghost. Everybody say the Holy Ghost. Also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Listen, it might look Come on now, I want to just say this. It might look like from you to me, there's a vast distance. And you look at the people around you and you think, how am I ever going to be like that? Oh, praise God. You don't need to worry about it. Just get in the presence of the Lord. The Lord's going to start writing it out in your heart. And he's going to put his word in you. And you're not going to need to worry about it. The Spirit of God is going to help you by writing his word inside of you. Hallelujah. What comes with the outpouring? Ezekiel 36 and 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statute. You shall keep my judgments and do them. Why? Because I will pour my spirit out upon you. Oh, the Spirit of God's going to help you to do it. You don't have to do it on your own. Hallelujah. You don't have to change on your own. He's going to put a new heart in you. He's going to transform you by the power of the Holy Ghost. He's going to do it in your life. The Spirit of God writes the word inside of us. The Spirit of God helps us to grow. You know what else comes with the Spirit of God? Luke 24, 49. I'm trying to close. I know we've gone long today. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise. What promise is that? Promise of the Holy Ghost. I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. What is he talking about? Hallelujah. That word endued, it means to clothe. The reference is in connection with a mentor who's removed his cloak and has found somebody to lay that cloak upon them, and they would be called into the ministry. We see the same with Elijah and Elisha. Elisha has got the oxen, and he's a farmer, but Elijah comes, takes off his cloak, hallelujah, comes up to Elisha, and without saying a single word, he clothes with his cloak. And by doing so, Elisha didn't have to ask any questions. He knew exactly what it meant. It meant that this man is adopting me as part of his family, and he is pouring out upon me the same anointing that he has. So when it says, you shall be endued with power from on high, what he is saying is that you will be clothed with the cloak of Jesus Christ. And the works that he did, ye shall do. The miracles he performed, you're also going to perform miracles. The prophecies that he spoke, you also will perform or speak prophecies. Why? Because you've been endued. You've been cloaked by your Father. And now all things that was his is now ours. The power of the Holy Ghost. That's why he says, you shall be endued with power from on high. With the Holy Ghost, the outpouring, comes the power of God. With the outpouring comes the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. Again, I'm wrapping it up. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given every man to profit withal. What that means is there's going to be an internal growth in you, the growth of the fruit of the Spirit, but there's also going to be an external outpouring, a profit where you are not just going to be blessed. It may not seem like this right now, brothers and sisters. Right now, you can't imagine this. But when God's through with you, you're not just going to be changed. He's going to use you to change others. For the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. What is all that? Those are all supernatural, miraculous things that God does through people in the church. The word of wisdom is a supernatural word to be able to explain what somebody should do or how they should think about something. The word of knowledge is a supernatural understanding of what has happened in the past. Gifts of healing is a supernatural miracle where God touches somebody's body, and maybe it's not an instantaneous miracle, but their body begins to naturally heal itself quicker. That's what Jesus did. He healed. The working of miracles is, as it already shown, it's signs and wonders. Listen, brothers and sisters, these things, the Bible says, comes with the Spirit of God. Prophecy is a divine utterance of the word and will of God. It's also a foretelling of future events. Discerning of spirits is an ability that's given by God to be able to discern somebody's spirit, their true intentions. Diverse kinds of tongues. It happens in the middle of a service when all of a sudden there's a hush that comes over the congregation and somebody begins to speak as if they're speaking to the congregation, but they're speaking in tongues. You say, well, I feel like they're talking to me, but I don't know what they're saying. That is the Spirit of God beginning to use them in diverse kinds of tongues. And diverse kinds of tongues is always followed by the interpretation of tongues. What that is somebody then hearing the word begins to interpret it in their own language for those who are listening. Hallelujah. These things are promised to us by the Holy Ghost. We can expect. Everybody say, I can. I can expect miracles in my life. I can expect the gifts of the Spirit in my life. I can expect prophecy and word of wisdom, word of knowledge. I can expect discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. I can expect for God to use me in miraculous ways. Why? Because you've been endued with power from on high. He's cloaked you. How about we all stand in this place? All I'm trying to say is that when God gets a hold of you, there's no limit to how far you can go in Christ. Hallelujah. He's going to grow. He's going to pour out His Spirit. But don't be content with just the bare minimum. God, I want more. last Sunday in service, during the altar call, we were preaching about the outpouring. And I was standing here when I saw, as it was, this entire altar was filled with nothing but wheat that had grown and matured to maturity. And the Lord spoke to me and said, "This is what I'm doing. I am pouring out my spirit, and all of these people who are here, they are going to grow like the stalks of corn in the former rain and the latter rain. And hallelujah, you can expect to see the harvest." Zechariah chapter 10, verse 1, and then I'm closing. It says this: "Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time." Everybody say, "It's time." "Ask ye the Lord in the rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the field." Listen, I believe in this place God has prepared showers for each one of us. Hallelujah. To shower down His Spirit, to shower down His anointing, to shower down His calling. Hallelujah, He's prepared it for every blade of grass in the field, every stalk of corn. Get ready for growth, brothers and sisters. Get ready for supernatural gifts of the Spirit. Get ready for the law to be written in your heart, for it's coming. It's coming. If you want it to come, how about you find your place down in this altar? Hallelujah. Again, I know it's late. I know we